so much for y'all inviting us down here and for the great place to stay and the good air conditioning and the ice machine that works all the time. We like that ice water, you know, up where we live. So that's a good thing, and we really appreciate it. And Brother Ernest and his wife took us out last night to eat at the Pickle Barrel, and that was delicious. So I fought them crab legs tooth and nail, but I got them down. Thank you. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin reading. See what this tells me to start reading at here. We'll begin reading in verse number 11. There we go. My pastor encouraged me to start putting all my messages on this iPad here, and it works wonderful until it doesn't, and then it's a little bit of a fight. So Romans chapter 10. I'm going to preach about something this morning that is a great battlefield in our country at the present time and in the world, and has been for a long time since the Lord, since even before the Lord came. And I'm going to try to preach to you about faith this morning. I've heard a lot of men preach great messages on faith, and this is not one of those. This is something very simple, and I want to try to just give you the word of the Lord this morning. I have a lot of scriptures to read, and not a lot to say myself, but just a few points to make. And I want to try to preach to you this morning about what it really means to believe the Lord and what it really means to believe on the Lord. There's a lot of confusion about that in these days. And a lot of people, Brother Sammy Allen used to say he believed maybe as 90% to 95% of people in churches were lost. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm not the Lord. I don't know all of those things, but I do know that there are people that claim to be saved that aren't. And people that that claim to know the Lord, and they don't have the Lord living in their heart. And I want to talk to you today about and preach to you about what it really means to turn to the Lord and for Him to save you. And not something that's fake, not just a religious ritual. Again, I'm not going to do a great job explaining all of this. I'm just going to try to give you what the Scripture says this morning. Romans chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse number 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. So let me ask you first off this morning, are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of the Lord, ashamed to speak His name, ashamed for people to know that you're a Christian? Are you ashamed to tell people that you got saved or to tell them where you go to church? I'm telling you, that's a big warning sign right there whenever people are ashamed of the Lord and ashamed of the gospel that they've never really truly believed on the Lord. But everyone that's believed on Him, they're not ashamed. Not ashamed of their choice that they've made, not ashamed of the days that they lived serving the Lord, and not ashamed of the Lord that saved them. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now that's a miracle there, that a preacher would have beautiful feet. A miracle of the Lord. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, I pray that you would take the reading of your word and touch me here for just a few minutes to be able to preach. You know all the thoughts that are in my head and in my heart, and I pray that you would cleanse me this morning. Father, that we would say only what you want said. If there be anyone here that's not saved, I pray, Father, that you would that your Holy Spirit would clarify for them where they stand with you, and that you'd convict them of their sin and of their iniquity, and convince them, Father, of your righteousness and the judgment that's to come. If there are those who are weak in the faith or doubting their salvation, I pray that you'd strengthen them through the message this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? The message this morning, if you'll give me just a few minutes, I'd like to preach to you about the battle to believe. I think we see all across the country. I see young people and young men. I see people out in the world, men in the jail, those that are at the nursing home. And it seems like that they are in a great struggle to believe the Lord. They're in a great battle to know what it means to believe. They're constantly in doubt, constantly in confusion. And this is not the desire of the Lord whenever He saves people. It is not His desire to save them and to leave them constantly in turmoil and in doubt. He has a desire for them to be confident. He says, being confident in this very thing, as we mentioned in the Sunday school, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says in Hebrews chapter number 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. We're living in a time where people are not very confident about the Lord, not very confident about what they believe and who they believe. I think there are several reasons why there's a battle over this faith, and we can read about it in the book of Jude and in the book of Galatians. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. So this salvation that we have is not different for Brother Ernest than it is for me. It's not different for my wife than it is for me, even though she got saved whenever she was 7 and I was 27. This is a common salvation that we have. But he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's contention. There's a battle around the faith that we embrace. The faith that I have in my heart and that Brother Ernest has, that my wife has, and I'm sure many of you have as well, but I don't want to pick and choose because I don't know, but I'm sure many of you have as well. That faith that we have, there's a battle over that. And there's a battleground where the devil and the world are trying to keep people from entering into that faith that you and I have and that has been preached for generations. He says it was once delivered unto the saints. This faith that we have, the Bible tells us, is the same faith that Abraham had. And yet we see people struggling and battling. They want to do something ritualistic. They want to come down and take communion, or they want to do something that they can see with their hands, that they can see with their eyes and do with their hands. But we very rarely see people who have that strength that they are just going to believe God. They're just going to believe on Him and repent and turn from their sin. We see this was even happening in the time of the book of Romans, because he says they have not all obeyed the gospel. There's a lot that simply have not obeyed, and we'll get into that in a second. But there's a lot of reasons why there's a battle here over our faith. He tells us in Jude that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered for the saints. And here's why. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's a battle to believe because of deception. He says that they've crept in unawares, that they've turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, that they've perverted the gospel of Christ. There are many men all across the country, in this country, in the United States of America, who are preaching a gospel that is not the gospel of Christ. And because of that, people are constantly in a battle to believe the Lord. Seems like they never have victory over their sin. It seems like they never are a testimony in the world. It seems like they're constantly living just like the world wants them to live, saying the things the world wants them to do, walking the way, the same exact way that the world is walking. And there's no evidence that they've truly believed the Lord at all in their heart. No evidence that they put their trust in Him, that they trust that what God says in the Bible is how they should live, that they've put all their trust on Him and said, I don't know how to live. I know that God knows how He wants me to live. We see constantly that men are deceived by a perverted gospel. There are people sitting all across church pews in this country this morning right now who have a hireling or a false teacher standing before them. And they are governed by their sin. They're ruled over. They've never been delivered. And they're sitting there thinking that they're saved this morning. There's a battle in this country and in our churches to truly believe God because of the deception that is everywhere all around us. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian knows the Lord. There have been many, there have been millions and millions that have wanted to be associated with our Lord simply because it gives them some kind of fleshly desire that they're looking for. Some kind of financial desire that they're looking for. But very few, it seems, down through the years, have truly been associated with the Lord because they just love Him. Because He lives in their heart. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It's not because it's not open to everybody, it's open to everyone. This gospel that I'm preaching to you this morning is available to every individual. This faith that I'm talking about that lives inside of you, that you can build your life on, that you can fellowship with others about, it's available to everybody. But unfortunately, not because of the choice of God, but because of the choice of men, there are few that find that way. There's a battle because of deception. You do understand that, don't you? That there are people that will pervert the gospel of Christ so they can get your money. They'll pervert it so they can get your praise or your attention. They'll pervert it so they can get something out of you or something for themselves that they're looking for, but they have no spiritual fruit in their ministry or in their life. There's a battle because of deception. There's a battle because of just flat-out denial. He says that they are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at how people have moved away from embracing the Lord as our authority. People even in churches have rejected the authority of the Lord and have embraced instead the authority of the government or of politics. They've said, what I believe religiously is this, but what I believe politically is this. I tell you, the same thing that I believe religiously or spiritually is the same thing that I believe politically. The Lord is the Lord of all the earth. He's the judge of all the earth. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We ought to live the way that He wants us to live. Well, we're supposed to live in a free society. Under God, we're supposed to live in a free society. Our politicians somehow have hoodwinked us into thinking that we ought to just accept all of these things into our society that are wicked and ungodly and tell us, no, a true Christian would let those people do whatever they want to do. That's not what a true Christian would do. They may die for it. They may be killed for it, but they will stand for the truth unashamed until the final breath that they draw. That's what Paul said. He had his head cut off by the Roman government. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Peter, crucified upside down. John, they say, was boiled alive but survived it. End up dying an old man. You look, I was talking to a man in the jail. He was from Romania and he said the way that he got saved is he got put in jail. And he started reading about the Lord and he started reading about his disciples. And he said all of those disciples died violent deaths. All of those 12 men. Besides Judas, then they died, and even he did, but they died violent deaths, not denying. They never denied the Lord. They would not recant. They would not deny Him until the moment of their death. And he said, if the Lord was fake, he said, they would have turned. Whenever they were hanging them upside down or tearing their limbs off and all this stuff, he said, they would have recanted at that moment if it was fake. He said, but they knew that it was real, and that's what convinced him, and he repented and turned to the Lord because of that. But we're living in a day where people are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying now that He was perfect. It said, man on CNN said, not on CNN anymore, but he said, well, even Jesus wasn't perfect. Like, what kind of world's he living in? That's the kind of world they're living in, a world that completely denies the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sinless and perfect. He was holy. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. And because of that, now the Bible says he's made higher than the heavens. They want a God that lives on their level. That's what most church members want too. They want a God that deals on their level, thinks the way that they want to think. But God said in the book of Isaiah, he said, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God doesn't think like you do. You think like God does, or that's the only connection you have. He's not coming to think like you do. You think like God does, but there are men who have denied. That's why there's a battle, such a battle for people to believe now. They want to say the prayer, they want to get baptized, and then go out and live a life that does not show at all that they believe the Lord. There's such a battlefield here, such a struggle it seems, because of deception, because of denial, because of defilement. He says they would pervert the gospel of Christ. Those aren't the ones that just flat out deny it, or the ones that are just trying to deceive you and draw you away. Those are the ones who take it and twist it and make it, you know, they use a little bit of truth and then throw in a little bit of error, and they try to corrupt it, and they try to do those things in order to draw you away from the truth of the Word of God. Makes it very difficult for men to believe. The battlefield that we're talking about here, where this battle to believe is, even though we've said all of that, the battle's not in the pulpit. The battle's not even at the altar. The battle is in the hearts and in the minds of men. It's inside of you. It's not between me and you. It's not between God and you. That battle is in your heart and in your mind. And that's why deception is such a strong thing, such a terrible thing whenever it comes to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it messes up the minds and the hearts of people. They're so deceived in their heart and in their mind that they can't even think about the Lord cleanly. They can't think about Him purely. They can't think about themselves as sinners. They always think that they're right. You can't change their mind about it. Their mind and their heart is set. The Bible talks about people that are stiff-necked. People that have their heart set to do evil. People that have made up their mind, as he said in Romans 1. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the world that we're living in. We're living in a world where inside the heart and mind of men, there is a battle going on where God is trying to reach out and to draw them into His family, draw them in to salvation. But their mind and their heart belong to the world. They belong to deception. And there's a lot of preachers helping them out along the way as well. Jesus said of the Pharisees, He said, "Of their proselytes, ye make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Even though this altar is a great place where victory can be won, the battle isn't right there. While you're kneeling here, it's in your heart and in your mind. You need to understand this. Because if you are going to be saved, or if you're going to have any confidence at all about your salvation, it's going to come in that relationship between you and the Lord. Not between you and me, not between you and the preacher or you and the church, but between you and the Lord. Those relationships help that relationship. And that relationship strengthens those relationships. But this is a personal decision between you and God. That's who it's about. This battle that we see is because of deception, because of denial, and because of defilement. All of that makes it a battle to hear. He says in Matthew 13, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and should heal them." Have a lot of people that make a profession, but very few that are converted from the way that they've been going. God is desiring, He's sitting and He's waiting and He's looking and He's reaching out, desiring to convert the sinner from the error of their way, desiring to heal your life. But because the people's heart is waxed gross, it's wicked and it's ungodly, it's heavy with sin, and their ears are dull of hearing. They've shut them off and they're weighted down by the things that they hear in their world. And their eyes they have closed, they become blind. They just can't see things the way that the Bible does anymore. They just can't see things the way that God does anymore. Then they're not converted from the error of their way. People, that's just not the way people live anymore, preacher. That's what they say. People just don't dress that way anymore. People don't just don't talk that way anymore. I just don't see it that way. I know you don't see it that way. That's why the Bible says that God says that you're not converted and you're not healed. We're living in a time where people elevate sin over the Savior. They're more joined together in their churches by how much liberty they can have to do wickedness and ungodliness than they are joined together by the righteousness and the power of the Savior. You hear more about, well, this is my sin, or this is what my weakness is, instead of this is what God delivered me from. This is what God set me free from. That's why there's a battle to believe. People see all around them people that claim to be Christians and have no deliverance from sin. And it's a struggle in their mind. Well, he claims to be a Christian, but he still does the same things that I do. Why would I want to be a Christian? God forbid that that should be our testimony at the workplace, that that should be our testimony down at the grocery store or at the school where we go to school or the college where we go to college. God forbid that we should have that testimony. That would cause there to be a battle in the mind and in the heart of an individual, that it would make it difficult for them to believe on the Lord. We ought to live in such a way that when people see us, that they would say, I want to believe on that God. But their ears are dull of hearing. He says in Isaiah 53, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's what he's talking about here. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The cross was a brutal place. It was a place of great suffering. It was not a place of beauty. It was beautiful to the Lord. Somehow he saw our sins being paid for and it pleased the Lord, but it was not a beautiful place. From our perspective, it was not beautiful for our Lord. It was a very destructive place for him. His body was beaten and ripped to shreds, and yet we refused to hear the message after all that he sacrificed. All we have to do is turn our ear and our mind away from the world and turn it toward the Lord. But his great sacrifice goes to waste on us because we will not hear what his word says. Men just simply refuse to hear what God says about them and about himself. They'll listen to a man, what he's got to say about God all the time. But they won't listen to what God's word says. If a man tries to preach the gospel, tries to live right, tries to preach exactly what the Bible says, they'll say, well, he just hates me. He doesn't like my family for some reason. He just preaches too hard. That's what they say. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy, the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, that's a seeker-friendly gospel. That's what they're looking for. Whatever fits in with what they want to do, that's where they go to church. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. It's a battle to hear. Are you listening? The world is trying to catch your ear. It's trying to catch your attention. And God is reaching out to you as well. It's a battle to hear what God has to say. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Oh my, how many people believe things. And I think, how in the world can they believe that? How can they believe that that's the way you're saved? How can they believe that you just go down and get baptized, or you're baptized as a child and you get saved? Their ears are turned to fables, turned away from the truth of the Word of God. Having said all of that, the battle is won and lost, not out there, but on the inside of your heart and your mind. Even though you may be dull of hearing, even though you may refuse to hear what the message of the gospel is, even though you may be blind and you don't see things the way that the Bible says, that battle can only be fought and won inside your heart and your mind. I can preach to you, the Holy Ghost can deal with you, but He's not going to force you to turn to Him. You have to be the one that gets serious about the condition of your soul, that is serious about what the Word of God says, that really wants to know what God wants you to do with your life. There's a battle to hear, a battle to obey. He says they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, people want to believe, but they want to believe like the devils believe. He said, "Dost thou believe that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, but the devils do not obey the Lord." That's where so many of people in our churches are today. They say that they believe God. They say that they believe the Word of God, but they do not obey Him. They believe that there is one God. You couldn't shake them on that with a stick. If you tried to beat them up, then they would say there's still one God, but they will not live for Him, and they will not obey Him. You cannot believe without obeying. You can't obey without believing. There's no way around it. If you're going to believe on the Lord, you're going to have to obey Him. We read about Samuel. Read about Saul and Samuel talking to him in 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God's far more interested in you simply obeying what His Bible says than He is about how much money you make or how good you look or what kind of car you drive or what kind of friends you have. God is far more interested in you simply obeying what His Word says. But there's a battle to obey. Oh man, how the standards have fallen in our churches. How our women used to be a testimony. I was talking to Brother Ernest last night about different people and different things that have dropped, pastors and preachers that have dropped the standard of how they dress. Because they say they've got a new way of thinking now. They got a new way of seeing things. They don't see things like the men used to see them. They don't see them like the Bible says anymore. They don't see modest apparel in 2 Peter as being really modest. They don't see it as being something that glorifies God. It's just, well, that's what you think, and I'm going to think what I want to think. But God has designed this whole thing in order for our lives to be a testimony to Him. I wonder if that's how we really think about it. I've thought about that before. I don't wear shorts, any of those things. But I put on a pair of pants before and thought, oh man, I don't know. If I go out, would people think that I don't belong to the Lord if I wear that? And I'll just put something else on. I want people to know that I belong to the Lord. And I understand, you know, with men it's a little bit different because a lot of people dress with pants on and all of that stuff. And so most of the time we focus on the women about that. But you'd be surprised what kind of testimony it is, what kind of condemnation it is to the world. How many people, no doubt throughout the years, how many hundreds and thousands of people have seen somebody walking down in a dress, seen a woman walking by in a dress, and the Lord has used it to smite their heart and to say, there's somebody that follows Me. Now, there's a lot of people that live, wear dresses and act like the devil. I get that. But I'm talking about simply obeying the Word of the Lord. We've forsaken that. Because of that, it's made it such a battle for people to believe on the Lord. Now, if I go and witness to somebody, then it's like, well, so-and-so goes to church and here's what he told me. And then so-and-so goes to that church over there and they drink and they smoke marijuana and they do all of those things. And there's such confusion in the hearts and in the minds of men. There's a battle over believing. That's what the battle's over. They're assaulting your mind and your heart, and they've caused you to be dull of hearing, caused you to get used to being disobedient. From a young age, whenever the preacher preaches on something, then we teach our kids, well, that's his opinion. We're going to do things our own way. Well, we still love him, but we're not going to, and you teach them to learn to be disobedient, very disobedient from a young age. Letting wicked things in your house, and that's not what my message is about this morning, but it causes confusion in the hearts and in the minds of people. Whenever the people that they see at the church house that love the Lord and worship Him and are on fire for the Lord, and whenever they see them and the way that they live, and then they see how their mom and dad lives, what kind of testimony is it to them? Is there confusion now in their heart and in their mind? Does it seem like they're struggling to really believe the Lord? Does it seem like your neighbor, maybe your friend or your cousin, maybe they're struggling to really believe the Lord? Maybe it's because the way that we're living is confusing them. It's causing a battle in their heart and their mind that shouldn't be there. Maybe they need to see something real out of our life. in that same passage, Saul said to Samuel, he said, I've sinned, and he was a fake repenter there, but he said, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. And then he had an excuse. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Saul didn't have any problem obeying the voice of the people. Didn't have any problem obeying whoever came down the road and said, well, I know what God said, but you really don't have to do it that way. But he had a real problem obeying what God said to do. That's the kind of world that we live in. There's a battle to believe the Word of the Lord. There's an assault on this Word of God, on the King James Bible. All of that is about trying to win a battle in your heart and your mind against the God of heaven. Every bit of it. Trying to confuse you. The Bible says of Paul, whenever he was talking to Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. God had spoken to Paul. Paul was a man that persecuted the Christians. But whenever God spoke to him, then he obeyed the Lord. How can you say that you believe? How can you say that you belong to the Lord if you don't obey Him? How can you say it with any confidence at all? It's a battle to obey. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. But you must obey the Lord. He says to obey is better than sacrifice. More than the Lord makes you wants to see you do some grand gesture. And that's the main point of the modern church world that we live in. They want to have massive concerts. Play the devil's music. Play all the you know, devil's ways of doing things. And then say that they're giving glory to the Lord. Look at this crowd that we brought in. Look at all the people that are following with us. Look at all the people that we witnessed to. But they fed them a perverted gospel, and they've made it difficult for them to know what it means to simply obey the Word of God, because those people aren't obeying. You cannot believe unless you obey, and you can't believe, can't obey unless you believe. There's a battle to bow as well. And I'm running a little bit long here, but I'll get it wrapped up. There's a battle to hear, a battle to obey, and a battle to bow. We live in a proud country, a proud generation. People that are set in their mind about their ways. They're set in their mind about their sin, and they refuse. He says in Isaiah 66 that they have chosen their iniquities. They have chosen their abominations. They chose it with their mind. That's what he says in Romans 1. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They refused to turn their mind to the Lord. There we live in a proud, proud time. That's what he says in 2 Timothy, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's the days that we're living in. Because of that, we're living in perilous times. Got to keep your doors locked everywhere you go. People come into our church. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere in the country. People come in and smashed a window or did something, checking doors and stole stuff out of people's car. You can't go anywhere. We're living in perilous times. But it's because we're proud. We're so stiff-necked and so lifted up in our own heart and our mind. And we refuse to humble ourselves before the Lord. Oh, that's why there's such a battle to believe. It's because we're so proud. We're so lofty in our own mind. We already mentioned the verses in Isaiah that said that His ways are higher than our ways. I want you to think about the prophet Isaiah for a second. Many of all of you know him. You go to church regularly. It seems to be that he was a prophet from a very young age, from a young child. Very possible his dad was Amos the prophet. That's the name of his dad, but they don't know if that's the actual Amos or if it was a different Amos. Was Amos the prophet, a godly man. Isaiah was raised up in a good environment at that time. Uzziah was a good king. Uzziah's dad was a good king. They didn't all finish right, but they were good kings. Uzziah was a good king. The Bible says that Uzziah served the Lord all the days of Zechariah the priest. He was raised up under godly men, Zechariah and Uzziah, and all he knew was prophesying and serving the Lord. A good young man. But in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw the Lord, he said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. He had been a prophet from the time he was a little boy. But whenever he saw the Lord, there was no confusion in his heart and in his mind that he had to bow before the God of heaven. Our problem is we don't have any sight at all of the Lord. We're so proud. All we can see is ourselves. You can't believe without bowing. I'm not talking about a physical bowing, even though that's totally fine. I'm talking about submitting yourself to the Lord in your heart and in your mind. That's where the battle's at. That's why the world has the entertainment that it has. That's why we can't even watch kids' shows anymore because of the wickedness and the ungodliness that they put on there. We can't even let our children watch little kids' shows that they're supposed to have because it's a battle on their mind and in their heart. They're trying to mess up their mind so it's impossible for them to turn to the Lord. They're fighting that battle to believe from a very young age. They're starting with your children and they will with your future children as well. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We've stopped seeing the Lord as mighty. Oh, He's a get-out-of-jail-free card. If we get in trouble, then we go running to Him. He'll do some great miracle, and then it's just like nothing ever happened. Oh, but we have an opportunity as the people of God and as the children of God to live our lives at the workplace, to live our lives where we go to school and around our neighbors and our friends, humbled under the mighty hand of God, and letting Him exalt us in due time, in His time. That's what that means. Not in your and my time. We're living such an impatient generation. People my age are so impatient. They want everything right now, when they want it. If it's not done when they want it, then it's like they're a victim. Somebody's hurt them. Somebody's done something to them because they didn't get what they wanted right when they wanted it. But whenever you're dealing with the Lord, things are on the Lord's timing. They're on His time. He says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But everybody now wants to live on their own time. I'll look for the Lord whenever I get a little bit older. After I get married, after I have a child, whenever I'm an old man or an old woman, that's when I'll look for the Lord. But if you're going to deal with God, if you're going to know what faith is, if you're going to know what it means to win in the battle to believe, you're going to do that on the Lord's time. You're going to do it when He says. And He says, today is the day. Then there's a battle to repent. Men just don't want to turn away from their sin anymore. They just don't. That's why there's such a battle to believe on the Lord. They want some kind of middle ground where they get to keep what they want and still get to go to heaven whenever they die. There's a battle to repent. Because of that, men will go to a priest and they'll confess everything to him because they just don't want to repent before the Lord. They'll take a wafer. They'll worship in front of an idol. They'll worship the prophet Muhammad. They'll, you know, bow down 5 times a day toward Mecca. Doesn't do a thing for them. Their God requires them to blow themselves up in order to get reward in heaven. And they'll still worship Him by the millions. But all God asks from you is that you repent. That's it. Turn from your sin. Turn to Him. Turn from your sin. Turn to Him. Turn from yourself. Turn to Him. That's the invitation from the Lord. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That reasoning, I can reason with you and maybe do a little bit of good, but I can't save you. You can reason with your mom and dad, but the Lord is wanting you in your heart and your mind. That's where the battle is this morning. Are you getting a hold of that? That the battle is in your heart and in your mind. That's where God is wanting to reason with you. He's wanting to talk with you about your future and about your sin. The battle really is not even between you and God. It's not between God and His Word. They're on the same side. God's already won the victory. The battle is on the inside of you. You're either going to turn toward the Lord or turn away from Him. Turn back to yourself and turn away from Him. The Lord has a way that He wants you to live. He wants you to live with confidence, unashamed of His gospel, unashamed of the standard that He wants you to live by, unashamed of the power and the joy and the peace that's in your heart. He says in maybe it's Philippians that you be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Have you ever been saved, really? I'm not asking if you've made a profession. But have you ever really had the Lord live in your heart? I'm talking about a salvation that's so real on the inside that people ask you about it. People's like, hey, what happened to him? Remember when he used to run with us down at the drinking place? Remember when he used to run with us down at the place where we listen to bad music and do all kinds of stuff? Whatever happened to him? That's what kind of salvation the Lord wants to give you. If all you want this morning is just a religion, just a ritual, you can find that anywhere in this country and all over this world. But if you want something real, if you want something that is a victory in your heart, not a constant struggle, but a victory in your heart and in your mind. You know, you want to know what it means to have a faith that the Bible says you can build your life of building up yourselves on your most holy faith. If you want to know what that's like, you've got to deal with the Lord and with His Word. You've got to hear what He says. Put everything else that you think out and hear what the Bible says. You've got to obey what the Bible says. Put everything else that everybody's telling you out and obey what He says. You've got to repent. You've got to bow. You've got to submit yourself to the Lord this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I pray that You would take the few words this morning. I've tried my best to preach the message that You've laid on my heart. I know, Father, what Your Spirit's responsibility and job is, and I can't do that. But Father, I know that You've touched me to preach this morning. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You or that's struggling with their salvation, I pray, Father, that they would simply hear Your Word, obey, that they would bow and repent, Father, and that You would deal with their heart in that way. You said, if any man will come unto Me, I will in no wise cast him out. And Father, if they can simply bring their mind and their heart into obedience to You this morning, I know that You'll save them. Pray, Father, if there's any here that's confused, that Your Holy Spirit would clear their mind and their heart of all that deception, all of that wickedness that they've been involved in for just a little while, and allow them to clearly see the great sacrifice that You made for them. Father, the great life that You're willing to give them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.